Yeah, okay. Can we just turn? I'd be really interested to see how you, what you found out. Does anyone like to share anything about what they found? Anybody at all? Come on, I'm sure somebody had some interesting things they wanted to go on. Thank you, Greg. Thank goodness for that.
We looked at the last passage and we found that virtually every verse had links with today. We talked about President Trump and the State of American Society, amongst many other things, but that's just one example, and about how it's going against God's word all the way through, yet it's a bit of irony that he bases his attitudes upon right-wing Christianity, so-called right-wing Christianity views. Links with us in Britain today, and we talked about fake news. There's one verse, I've lost. There's one news which applies to prophets saying the wrong thing, and we made parallels to fake news today.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Brilliant, excellent. Anybody else like to share anything? Go on, Owen. Can you pass the mic? Thank you.
So we saw our passage in that time to Jeremiah says one of the biggest statistics of Christ. And his part is really the nation around just so different gods. He wants to be very clear and say this is God, this is what God says.
So yes, so this is what God says, this is what the true God says. Yes. Anybody else like to feedback? Yes. I'll come to you in a minute, Maria. Can you pass that?
So we looked at chapter 3, and this is what it's 21. It's very much about, as you mentioned, how relationship accounts very much in terms of marriage, about faithfulness. And the thing that stuck out, one of the things that stuck out particularly was how the difference between Israel and Judah. And it says that the faith in Israel is more righteous than that faith which would be part of his Judah in terms of pretense, rather than with a genuine heart. So that thing of, if we are going to step back to God, we have to be genuinely not as an appearance. Actually, that's much worse than the other.
That kind of, yeah, we're saying we're on God's side, but actually we're not, yeah. Yes, Maria, go for it.
So we read 29-37, and we were talking about how we are so similar to Israel at that point, because you know they had a lot of goals, and Jeremiah was trying to move away from that, and we do the same. Our gods, and we don't call them gods, but you know, having more money, having a new house, all those things. So obviously, are our gods. And we've been talking about how you know we have to keep reminding ourselves and each other where the difference is. To be a bit like Jeremiah and say, remember that God is there, and that we have to keep actually take it in, because we were saying how many times we hear these messages all the time, but actually do we take it in? Do we do something about it, about our relationship with God? Samantha was saying at that point it was the relationship was as a nation, but now we are individuals and we can do something about it. So.
Exactly, yeah, brilliant, Maria, yes, to do something about it, yes, very much so. It's very easy, isn't it, to blame everybody else. They're all in the wrong, we're all right, thank you very much. We're perfect, or if we're not perfect, we're near perfect. So Jeremiah is grieving. He says, "Oh, my anguish," in chapter 4, verse 19. "I writhe in pain, oh, the agony of my heart. My heart pounds within me. I cannot keep silent, for I have heard the sound of trumpets. I have heard the battle cry. Disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruins." And this is a challenging thought that I had, which I think might be from God. Did Israel realise that it was rebelling? Did Israel realise that they were going off point? Or did actually they think that they were following God? But they were doing it in their way. You know, They ignored Jeremiah. They weren't happy with him. He wasn't a fluffy person to know. He was a prophet. And I think we ignore our prophets today because they have those uncomfortable things to say. The Israelites were so consumed that the way they were doing things was okay, actually. It was right. It was fine to sacrifice things to God and then sacrifice things to other idols. There's something called practical atheism. I don't know if you've heard about it. You turn up in church and you say you're a Christian and you worship, and then the rest of the week doesn't impact you at all. I wonder. I've been really challenged by this. How is my Christian life being lived out? Are we deluding ourselves when we look around us? I don't know about you, but obviously I read the Church Times and things. There always seems to be the next quick fix. The program, the evangelistic program that's going to work this time. If only you buy this book, or if only you do this, or if you just make God look a little bit more interesting, or if you just play the right songs, they'll come flocking in. Ain't working. I think we are deluding ourselves if we think there's a quick fix to the wayward hearts around us. If we think we can find that magic formula, we can somehow unlock God's blessings. Remember, it's a covenant, not a contract. I've been reading this book, and I've been challenged with it, so I thought I'd challenge the rest of you, actually. It's called Letters to the Church, and it's by Francis Chan. And I'm reading it with a group of people in the diocese, and it's a really prophetic book, actually. And we're only on chapter 3, and it speaks really clearly into the state that the church is at, actually. It's American, but actually there are some things that really strike you in the heart. God is devoted to us, it talks about. Are we devoted to him? Or have we put efficiency ahead of him? Doing good things instead of him? Spending more time doing the things of church rather than actually being with God. You know, we can have the best bands. We can have the best preachers. And things can be all the way we really like them. But are we allowing that to crowd God out? Are we making them a form of idol? Are we allowing ourselves to become too busy chasing after other things rather than chasing after God? Because God desires this relationship with us. It's not a contract. We need to be listening to him rather than concentrating on stuff that makes us feel better. Because, my friends, we are heading into exile. It's the writing is there. I've tried to ignore it. Lots of the prophets are saying the same things. It's on our doorstep. We've already crossed the line. And on my next sermon, 30th of June, this is the way to get you to come, but I will tell you more and unpack it more about why I think that's the case. But you know, God is no longer the person that people turn to in our nation. They're not, he's not. We can't say he is, because he's not. You know, we are becoming a shrinking minority. We are. We say, oh well, there's that great big resource church down the road, or there's Hillsong. But they are just subcultures attracting people from miles around. But there is a way back. But before I go into this, because I think sometimes we rush, don't we, to the resurrection. We go, yes, that's good news. Hey, it's all right, Ali, you can give me a tick. And we forget the lament and we forget the grief. And that's not the work that God wants us to do, because if we don't sit with lament and the grief, we will not change. Because what's the point? You know, what's the point? We won't talk to our neighbours about God because we think, well, you know, it's okay, it'll be all right in the end. I want us to spend a moment in prayer just before I finish. And it's kind of a confession that I want to say, and if you want to say as well, like I say to my children at Redwell, you can say amen at the end if you agree. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you long to be in a relationship with us. But we are sorry. We're sorry for the things that we have placed before that relationship with you, for the times we haven't listened to you, where we haven't been attentive to your word, when we've put our own efforts before you, thinking we can solve solutions on our own. We grieve over our wayward hearts and those of our nation. We know, Lord, that you care for each and every one of us. Thank you that you love us. Amen. Let me give you a little bit of hope before you all go away really depressed. Chapter 3, verse 12, God offers a hope of a way back. O Israel, my faithless people, come home to me again, for I am merciful, amen, and will not be angry with you forever. Verse 14 says, return home, you wayward children. If you look at chapter 3, 16, Jeremiah goes onwards to talk about the joy and hope of the return as they will abandon their desires to follow idols. Verse 22, my wayward children, says the Lord, come back to me and I will heal your wayward hearts. Yes, we are coming back, the people reply, for you are our Lord and God. Only in the Lord our God will Israel ever find salvation. So, let's be resolved for praying for these non-Christian friends that we've written down, or family, actually, I've written family down on my card, that we would like to see come back to Christ. Let us continue to pray for our nation because it needs it. And let us pray for the people around us and be attentive to God's Spirit. Where is he asking us to go? Let us be faithful. Let our hearts not be wayward. Amen.